Today is a WRL weather alert day. We have an excessive heat warning and a level 2 risk across our area. I'll show you what time we'll see triple digit heat indices and when we'll see the thunderstorms rolling through.
And crisis averted. Wake County School System says it will have enough drivers to cover all routes on the first day of school.
Plus, the Carolina Hurricanes are staying put at least another 20 years. Details on the new lease signed today by the owners of PNC Arena and Gale Force Sports.
Today is a weather alert day, and Southeast Raleigh High School is dismissing right now because they have no AC in the building. We could see severe storms and excessive heat. Good afternoon to you. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Michelle McConaughey in for an H2. Thanks for joining us. Our heat index is already in the triple digits in some spots, and storms could cause wind damage. Elizabeth Gardner is in the WRL Severe Weather Center with a timeline and everything we need to know, Elizabeth.
Here's a look at that level 2 severe threat for the entire viewing area. Damaging wind is going to be the biggest threat for us today, but it was interesting to see a tornado warning overnight last night across the Boone area. It's an unusual spot for us to see a tornado warning. So it's a possibility as this cold front starts to move closer to us. We'll also see heavy rain that could produce some isolated flooding. Let's take a look at the big picture. We did have some thunderstorms along the mountains overnight last night and early this morning, but you can see for the most part that has dissipated. We're beginning to see a few storms developing just southwest of Asheville. And of course, all this will continue to move eastward and into our area. We've started to see the timeline of this slow down just a little bit, and you can definitely see back to the west where some of those storms are, again, pretty far away from us. So here's a look at Futurecast. And here at lunchtime, all is dry. We don't have any storms in our area. By 2 o'clock, we're starting to see that line across the mountains. And by 3 to 4 o'clock, it starts to drop in our north and western counties. Of course, at 5 o'clock, it's sitting right across the viewing area. So it may be a messy evening commute for a lot of folks. And some of these cells will bring some heavy rain and possible wind damage. Of course, that line continues to push eastward along the I-95 corridor at 6 o'clock. And by 8 o'clock, most likely our severe threat is over, but we may see some lingering showers and maybe even an isolated storm afterwards. And of course, our next big issue is the heat. Heat advisory there in orange. It'll feel like up to 110. And in purple from Raleigh eastward, that's where we have the excessive heat warning, which is unusual for our area. It'll feel like 115. Let's take a look at some current heat indices. It feels like 109 in Southern Pines, at 108 in Fayetteville. It feels like 117 in Clinton, 109 in Durham and Raleigh, 106 in Rocky Mount. We made it all the way to 113 with our heat index yesterday. And of course, here it is at lunchtime. It could go higher later this afternoon. Right now it's 93, but our dew point is 78. The highest dew point we've ever seen at RDU was 82. So we're getting close to the top that we've ever seen with the amount of moisture in the atmosphere. Once the storms kick in, the temperatures will start to fall. And after the front, it will feel more comfortable tomorrow. I'll show you coming up.
All right, thanks, Elizabeth. Good news this noon for thousands of Wake County parents. The school district now says it has enough drivers to cover all the routes on the first day of the new school year. WREL's Eric Miller has been following the story for us this afternoon. Eric, this news coming just in time.
All right, Michelle, a huge weight off for parents, for school leaders, you name it. And that's because right now we are less than 2 weeks from the start of the school year here in Wake County. Now, school leaders, they say, yes, this is the result of a recent recruitment push, but really it's an effort going back years that is finally bearing fruit. Now, right now in Wake County, they say they have 560 drivers to help get 90,000 kids to class. That's the great news here. But there are a couple of catches. First, in order to make all this work, Wake County has had to waive its on-time requirements getting students to school. That means nearly 3,000 kids each and every day could actually miss that first bell at the start of the school day. For most kids, that means they'll only be a couple of minutes late to class, but for some, that could mean they are more than 30 minutes late each and every day. The other catch is that while Wake County has managed to cover all of its routes at this point, they do not have any backup drivers who can come in on sick days. Now, 3:30 this afternoon, Wake County School Board, they have got a meeting right here behind me. We expect they will dig into some of these challenges, figure out a way to maybe mitigate some of this. We'll be watching very closely to see what happens. Michelle?
All right, we'll look forward to that. Eric Miller live in Wake County. Thanks, Eric.
And I'm Brian Schrader in the WRAL Live Center. Hillsborough police say they have charged a woman with killing her mother and kidnapping a sibling. This is 19-year-old Jada Westmoreland. She's charged with first-degree murder and kidnapping. Police in Hillsborough say they were doing a welfare check at an apartment last night on South Nash Street when they found her mother, 41-year-old Delilah Westmoreland, shot to death, and the woman's 2-year-old child missing. Officers say they found Jada Westmoreland and the toddler at a home in Durham. That toddler now is safe with family members. WRAL's Monica Casey is working on getting more details about this case. Look for updates beginning today at 4 here on WRAL.
Thanks, Brian. The Carolina Hurricanes will continue to call PNC Arena home this morning. Gale Force Sports and the Centennial Authority signed a 20-year lease. Destiny Patterson reports the announcement comes ahead of extensive upgrades to the facility.
PNC Arena, as we know it, will look very different over the next two decades. That lease extension agreement also includes upgrades to the surrounding area. I'm talking housing, retail space, and even office space. All of that is part of phase one development, which comes to a minimum of $200 million in the first 5 years. These investments are expected to make this sports arena part of a larger entertainment district. NC State also uses this arena for men's basketball. The athletic director says he's excited about this.
College athletics at times can be a bit of an arms race. It's kind of great to be in this relationship that we have with the Centennial Authority as well as with the Hurricanes, and we're excited about it.
Renovations to the PNC Arena comes from the Wake County hospitality tax. Raleigh City Council will vote tonight, and Wake County commissioners will vote next week on how much money PNC gets. Destiny Patterson, WRAL News, PNC Arena.
You can now walk around with your alcoholic beverage in a larger area of downtown Raleigh. New boundaries took effect at 10 o'clock this morning. It ends at 10 p.m., 7 days a week. Sip and Stroll Downtown allows people to drink beer, wine, or cocktails as they walk through a defined area of downtown Raleigh. The boundaries now include more of the Warehouse District and portions of the Capitol District up to Hillsborough Street.
VinFast began trading on the NASDAQ floor after completing its merger. And the deal with Black Spade is valued VinFast at approximately $23 billion. VinFast's new U.S. shares opened at $22 and briefly jumped before declining. Capital raised from the merger and stock offering is expected to help pay for the massive factory that it's building in Chatham County. And now let's take you to Wall Street. Look at the markets right now, all in the red. The Dow Jones down about 280 points. S&P 500 is down 31 points this afternoon. And VinFast is just part of several companies coming to Chatham County. WRAL's Matt Talhelm went on the record recently with leaders from the county and people who have lived in the area their whole lives about what a changing Chatham County means to them. You can watch that right now on WRAL.com. Just search On the Record.
Raleigh police confirm one of their officers was involved in a crash involving a person on the road. The accident shut down the southbound lanes for hours while police investigated. Laura Levine was there as the investigation played out.
We're talking about a very busy intersection here at the intersection of Capitol Boulevard and Calvary Drive. This all happening around 11 o'clock last night. And here at RPD headquarters, the investigation continues. Let's get you straight to some of that video where you can really see the heavy police response. A pedestrian was struck in the southbound lanes of Capitol Boulevard, just south of Calvary Drive. In this video, you can also see an RPD cruiser with hood damage. It's unclear what involvement that cruiser had in this incident. We're told the driver did stay on the scene. Since June, we have reported on three other incidents involving a person being hit overnight at the same intersection here. Drivers are asked to be mindful of any police activity that may still be going on at that area. As far as that pedestrian, that person was taken to a nearby hospital, treated for serious injuries. Laura Levine, WRAL News in Raleigh.
A small group of demonstrators gathered in the Nash County Board of Commissioners meeting this morning, calling for the removal of the county's social services leaders. This comes after a months-long investigation by WRAL found that since 2020, two children have died while under the care of Nash DSS. One-year-old Chase Hilliard was allegedly murdered by his mother, and 8-year-old Crystal Lane's grandmother is charged with killing her. WRL has learned in both cases, recommendations were made to DSS leaders to remove the children from their homes, but that didn't happen. Demonstrators brought signs saying justice for Chase and justice for Crystal, as well as a petition calling for the removal of three Nash DSS leaders. County leaders have not yet responded to the concerns, but the meeting is still going. WRL's Keenan Willard will have response from the county on the WRL Evening News.
Tonight, family and friends of Alicia Watts will gather again for a prayer vigil. It's now been nearly a month since the Moore County woman vanished. Watts was last seen July 16th when she and her boyfriend, James Dunmore, left to see a show in Charlotte. Her SUV was found 2 days later in Anson County. Dunmore was found unresponsive inside. Dunmore has since been named a person of interest by Charlotte Mecklenburg police, who are handling the investigation. Tonight's vigil will begin at 7 o'clock at Foxfire Village Town Hall.
Next at noon, former President Donald Trump is criminally indicted for the fourth time this year. The number of people indicted with him and when they all have to turn themselves into authorities.
Also, 99 people dead so far after wildfires in Maui, and officials say that number could double. The lingering questions about the emergency response.
Plus, a link between air pollution and dementia. At 12:30, a new report details the effects on your brain from unsafe air.
Download the new WRAL streaming apps on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, and Android TV.
Former President Donald Trump and 18 co-defendants have 10 days to turn themselves into Georgia officials to face state charges. The 41-count indictment charges the 19 defendants with trying to overturn the 2020 election results in that state. This is the fourth set of criminal charges Mr. Trump faces. NBC's Chris Pallone has reaction to the late-night announcement.
Indicted again, former President Donald Trump now facing criminal charges in Georgia.
Specifically, the indictment brings felony charges against Donald John Trump.
Late Monday, a Fulton County grand jury charged the former president with 13 counts, including racketeering and conspiracy,
to accomplish the illegal goal of allowing Donald J. Trump to seize the presidential term of office beginning on January 20th, 21.
The 98-page indictment levies 41 charges against Trump and 18 of his allies, including his former chief of staff, Mark Meadows, and attorney Rudy Giuliani, who spoke with NBC News before the indictment was unsealed.
These are attempts to prevent him from running for president of the United States.
Fulton County District Attorney Fonnie Willis launched the 2.5-year-long investigation shortly after audio leaked from a January 2021 phone call between the former president and Georgia's Secretary of State.
I just want to find 11,780 votes.
The indictment lays out several other alleged criminal acts by some members of the group, including forming a slate of fake Republican electors, harassing poll workers, and copying sensitive election machine data. Several Georgia Republicans who resisted pressure from Mr. Trump and his allies testified before the grand jury.
There's been a lot of misinformation for a number of years, and this is our opportunity to get the real story out. My hope is that Americans believe us. My hope is that Republicans believe us, that this election was fair and legal.
Throughout, Mr. Trump has maintained he did nothing wrong. Writing on social media early this morning, the witch hunt continues. Willis says she wants to go to trial within 6 months.
That's Chris Pallone reporting, and we'll continue following developments on Trump's recent indictments. When we are not on the air, you can get updates in the WRL News app or at WRL.com.
New information just into the WRAL Live Center. The mother of a 6-year-old boy who shot his teacher in Virginia has pleaded guilty to felony child neglect. I want to show you a video of Deja Taylor, who admitted that she owned the gun that her son used to shoot Abigail Zwerner back in January. Zwerner was his first grade teacher at a school in Newport News, Virginia. The sentencing for this is going to be in October, and Taylor could face 6 months in prison. Her son now lives with his grandfather and is receiving therapy. You know, Zwerner is still recovering from her injuries, and she's filed a $40 million lawsuit against school officials saying that they had warnings that the boy had a gun at school that day.
All right. Thank you, Brian. A pair of earthquakes rattled nerves earlier this morning in the Triad. Both occurred in Guilford County just after 2 o'clock. The first struck around 219, 2 miles west of McLeansville. Minutes later, at 222, a 2.1 magnitude earthquake was recorded northeast of Greensboro. Both earthquakes were measured at a magnitude 2. No one was hurt. And today we'll learn more about possible solutions for lead that was found in some Durham parks. The report out today comes after lab analysis, and those could include removing and filling all contaminated soil with clean soil.
Take it to Maui now, where the death toll stands at 99 people following those devastating wildfires. Officials are warning that number could rise dramatically because hundreds of people are still missing. This comes as questions are being raised about the emergency response to this disaster. NBC's Miguel Almaguer has more from the people who live there about what they're trying to do to move forward.
Amid the haunting, smoldering ruins of Lahaina, the sense of loss is overwhelming.
It takes a toll on you emotionally, mentally, and then, of course, physically.
This morning, officials will begin releasing the names of the deceased whose remains have been identified. Canine teams still going house to house in a somber search for victims.
It's not just ash on your clothing when you take it off. It's our loved ones.
Meanwhile, investigators are trying to determine how the fire started and whether so much loss could have been prevented. A brush fire near Lahaina was first reported early Tuesday morning, and some evacuations were ordered just after 6:30 a.m. But Maui officials thought they had it under control, announcing 100% containment around 9 a.m., possibly giving residents a false sense of security. By that afternoon, Lahaina was in the grip of an inferno. Officials say emergency sirens were never activated.
Typically, the communication is by cell phone, on television. All of these modalities were destroyed with a rapid fire.
The firestorm surrounding terrified residents as they fled the burn zone.
The randomness of this wildfire is evident in this neighborhood. There are homes and apartments that are still standing, but just across the street here, total destruction. For those that want to return and rebuild, that process is going to take years.
Adding to the difficulty, concerns over environmental safety.
I mean, what's all this is like? Looks still smoldering. It's toxic, hazardous.
Officials say dangerous chemicals like lead and asbestos are contaminating the air, soil, and water.
How concerned are you about the long-term effects of living here?
Very, very. Everyone's talking about, you know, as soon as we can get out.
A community that has lost so much, now coping with the danger of what remains.
That was Miguel Almaguer reporting. And volunteers from North Carolina-based Samaritan's Purse left Greensboro this morning, headed to Hawaii, along with 17 tons of emergency relief equipment and tools. Disaster response specialists are assessing the damage and coordinating with local authorities about how to best help. Samaritan's Purse volunteers will serve in Maui, sifting through the ashes, looking for people and priceless mementos and items that may have survived the flames.
They need all the help they can get.
Unimaginable scene there.
It's horrible to see what they're going through.
It was usually a paradise for vacationers.
Yeah.
Right here, Elizabeth Gardner in the WRO Severe Weather Center. It is hot, and it's going to get hotter probably today, right?
Yeah, we're looking at up to 115 in terms of our heat index later on. And all that heat will help to fuel some thunderstorms for later on this afternoon. We just got an update from the Storm Prediction Center. They expanded the level 2. It doesn't really change any part of our viewing area because we were all already under it. But it expanded back to the west a little bit farther. Damaging wind remains the biggest threat. An isolated tornado could pop up. And certainly there'll be some heavy rain that could cause some flooding as well. We take a look at future. There's some clouds that are starting to pop up, and definitely between 2 and 3 o'clock, you can see a lot of cloud cover starting to fill in. At 3 o'clock, we're starting to see that line approaching Roxboro. At 4 o'clock, it's beginning to move from Durham to Raleigh, all the way up toward Roanoke Rapids and back to Southern Pines, and it just gradually continues to intensify along that line through around 5 or 6 o'clock. So that means that a lot of folks will be affected by this during the evening commute. Some of that rain will be very heavy. If you happen to find yourself under any of those storms yesterday, you know they just just the bottom just dropped out. So lots and lots of moisture here. The rainfall is going to be very heavy. At 6 o'clock, expect the storms from Rocky Mount to Goldsboro to Fayetteville. And then after 8 o'clock, gradually that begins to move out of the viewing area with a few lingering showers or maybe isolated cells. That should be most of the severe storms out of here. Heat advisory again for some of our north and western counties. Everybody else under that excessive heat warning, which is just something we don't see that often. That's in effect until 7 p.m. We'll see, of course, that heat index up to 115 in that heat, excessive heat warning. On average, for the last 15 years, we've averaged one per year, excessive heat warning, and seven advisories per year. So we don't see, this is not our everyday sort of heat. Our dew point has climbed to 78 now. I've just watched that climb all morning long, and that's very high. You'll notice it as you step outside. The highest we've ever seen at RDU is 82, and that's extremely rare. 78 is very, very rare for us. We'll take another look at how hot it feels in Clinton right now. It's 91, but it feels like 118. It feels like 113 already in Goldsboro, 106 Rocky Mount, 109 Southern Pines, as well as Durham and Raleigh. It feels like 90 degrees in Roxboro, but 102 in South Hill. We take a look at Rocky Mount. Sorry, this is a look at Wilson. And you can see the whirligigs spinning lightly out there. Again, 93 current temperature, dew point 78. And 97 is the high temperature that we're expecting this afternoon in Raleigh, 95 in Durham, and 98 degrees in Fayetteville. If we hit 100, that would end up tying the previous record. And then 99 is our record high for today at RDU. We might get there. 97 won't quite get it, but we're going to be close to records no matter what. Of course, you can see our heat index is already high. It already feels like 109. You can see that that's likely to continue into the afternoon. Once the storms begin, we'll begin to see the temperatures dropping out of the danger zone, but that could be pretty late in the afternoon into the evening before that happens. Big change for tomorrow. We'll see a high of 88 and it'll feel like 93. Now that's still hot, but it's not going to feel like 110. And then it will feel like the mid to upper 90s as we push into the weekend, and we'll be a bit drier. It doesn't look like we have a break coming anytime soon. All the way through the end of August, through the 28th, almost the entire country has the potential for above normal temperatures. But it will feel slightly more comfortable tomorrow with that high of 88. After that, into the weekend, our highs are back into the mid-90s.
Thanks, Elizabeth. A two-year widening project on one of Raleigh's heaviest traveled routes has hit a roadblock. Today at 4, WRAL looks at why construction on Atlantic Avenue is stalled and what City Council says are the next steps.
Most of us like to read online reviews before pressing buy on a certain product, but did you know some of those reviews can be fake?
According to some estimates, between 30 and 40% of online reviews are fake or not genuine.
Coming up, Five on Your Side is going to tell you exactly how to tell which reviews are real and can be trusted.
And if you're considering buying a Tesla, now might be the time. The EV manufacturer is knocking thousands of dollars off the price of two of its popular models. Which variants are included in the deal?
Plus, so a new study is dispelling a misconception that many Americans have regarding the safety of marijuana smoke versus tobacco smoke.
Tesla is rolling out cheaper versions of two of its electric cars as EV competition ramps up in the U.S. The standard models of the Model S and Model X are $10,000 less than the regular models. The Model X starts around $88,000 and the Model S around $78,000. Both have slightly lower driving ranges from their more expensive counterparts.
Retirees could be seeing a cut to their Social Security checks in the future. A major reduction of benefits could occur in 2023, which is when trust fund reserves are expected to run out. Retired couples could have their checks cut by more than $17,000 a year. Congress needs to act to avoid reduced checks. Some Democratic lawmakers suggest removing the cap that allows higher income earners to be exempt from the Social Security payroll tax, while some Republican lawmakers say raising the retirement age to 70 is a better solution. More Americans over the age of 55 plan to delay their retirement. Roughly two-thirds of people polled say they're not sure whether they can retire when they want to. 20% say they'll never retire. Economic conditions could be getting in the way of workers maximizing their retirement savings. 44% of respondents say they have had to adjust their retirement plans due to economic factors beyond their control.
Excessive heat and storms. It is a WREL Weather Alert Day. Elizabeth returns with how long these conditions will last.
The number of college students who develop eating disorders is on the rise. How parents can spot the deadly mental illness and support their children. That's in our next half hour. Here are your winning lottery numbers on your screen right now.
Today is a WREL weather alert day. We could see severe storms and excessive heat.
Our heat index is already in the triple digits in some spots, and storms could cause wind damage. Elizabeth Gardner is in the WREL Severe Weather Center right now with a look at the timeline.
Yeah, an unusually hot day for us today. Excessive heat warning, that's not something that we see very often. And of course, we have that level two risk of severe storms as well. Let's start with that level two risk. It does cover the entire viewing area. We have a cold front that's going to be moving from the mountains across our area. That's going to give some extra energy to the atmosphere today that we didn't see yesterday. So we'll likely have more widespread storms today than we did yesterday. Damaging wind, an isolated tornado, and some heavy rain that could cause some minor flooding. We had some flood warnings up in the mountains in the last few hours, but it looks like those have expired. Not a whole lot happening just yet, but we'll likely start to see some cells popping in the next couple of hours. Certainly by 2 or 3 o'clock, we start to see some of these storms popping back to the west. There's 2 o'clock. That line's going to form and start to move in as early as 3. We may start to see that moving through the triangle area between 4 and 5 o'clock. You can see that pretty stout-looking line, broken line, but some heavy rain out of that, and we'd have the potential for some wind damage there. That continues to move eastward through our eastern counties around 6 to 7, and then after that, it's most likely going to begin to weaken. Once we get past sunset, the atmosphere loses some of its energy, but we'll likely have a few showers that linger, potentially up until around midnight. Heat's a big story, too. Heat advisory for the second day in a row for some of our counties, but a rare excessive heat warning in effect from Raleigh southward and eastward. This is where it will feel like up to 115, and it already feels hotter than that. In Clinton, it feels like 118. It feels like 113 in Goldsboro, 109 in Durham and Raleigh, 109 Southern Pines, 102 in South Hill. So already we're dealing with triple-digit heat. All you people, I am here to scold you. Mom says get off the golf course. It is too hot to be out there. And seriously, it is. It's not a day that you want to spend time outside. This is a serious situation with the heat out there. 93 with a dew point up at 78. Looking at temperatures in the upper 90s, which is close to records. Of course, we don't look like we're going to see much of a break going forward, but tomorrow should feel a little more comfortable. I'll show you that coming up.
And you can plan ahead for severe weather with the WREL weather app. It allows you to watch radar in real time to see when storms are moving into your area. Be sure you have the WREL weather app installed on your phone. Turn on the alerts to get notified about severe weather where you are. It is free wherever you download your apps.
And here at the WREL Live Center, we are tracking that extreme heat, and it's causing some problems at Southeast Raleigh High School. They are dismissing early today because of no air conditioning. They dismissed at noon. They say that school staff will stay with students at the school until arrangements have been made for everyone to be able to get home from school. And also because of the extreme heat tomorrow, they are going to dismiss 2 hours early because of these AC problems. Also, all after-school activities are canceled there at Southeast Raleigh.
All right, good to know. Thanks, Brian. Our county-by-county coverage takes us to Durham, Wayne, and Warren counties. Mark your calendars. The Full Frame Documentary Film Festival is returning to Durham next year. The 4-day event will take place at the Carolina Theater and Durham Convention Center April 4th through the 7th. The festival routinely draws huge crowds and films and panels and discussions. It was held virtually from 2020 to 2022 due to the pandemic. Then it was put on a 1-year pause this year while organizers work to streamline the festival. And CSX Transportation is completing maintenance on railroad crossings across the Wayne County, and that could impact traffic. The whole project began yesterday and is expected to last for 3 weeks. Each railroad crossing closure is expected to last 2 to 3 days. You can find an interactive map on the Wayne County Government Facebook page. And parents in Warren County, make sure your child has the correct backpack for the new school year. The district says it's providing free clear bags. The move is part of its new safety measures. Clear backpacks are required on all campuses. If you don't want to use the bag provided by the school, you can purchase your own.
Nearly 29 million Americans will experience an eating disorder in their lifetime. College students can be especially vulnerable to developing these serious life-threatening mental illnesses. Mandy Gaither shares advice from a doctor on ways parents can help protect their children from eating disorders.
The transition to college isn't always easy, and today's students are at greater risk than ever. A November 2022 study found the chance of college students developing an eating disorder rose 13 percentage points from 2013 to 2021.
And unfortunately, about 70% of patients with eating disorders won't actually seek treatment or have barriers in terms of seeking treatments.
Dr. Laura Doerr is part of the eating disorder team at Children's Healthcare of Atlanta. She says college can be especially hard on students as they may be away from family for the first time, planning their own meals, trying to fit in with peers.
Students who are competitive athletes, unfortunately, are at higher risk. And so they may be entering the college sports arena and be dealing with some issues themselves as they start in that process.
Doerr says parents can help protect their children from eating disorders by being a good role model, having a good relationship with food yourself, and watch for red flags. Signs a child may be struggling with disordered eating include headaches, dizziness, lack of energy, and difficulty sleeping. Doerr also says it's critical to talk to your children.
It's about what they're eating, you know, how their energy level is, what they're doing to help improve their health and nutrition. I think those are the conversations we need to have as parents just to ensure that we're keeping the lines of communication open.
That was Mandy Gaither reporting, and if your child has already experienced an eating disorder before college, it is critical that he or she continues treatment while in college.
This month, WREL is partnering with the Interfaith Food Shuttle to help erase hunger in our community. One of the ways Interfaith Food Shuttle is addressing childhood hunger in North Carolina is through Backpack Buddies. Volunteers deliver prepackaged food to students identified by school counselors and social workers. So far, 71 schools are involved in the program, serving 1,800 children a week. Shirley Moore is the Child Hunger Programs Manager at Interfaith.
In the backpacks, the kids have easy open, easy access food. It consists of four meals, two breakfast meals, which consist of healthy cereal, healthy milk, two lunch or dinner meals.
You can visit foodshuttle.org to learn more about the program and how to donate or volunteer. Together, we can help erase hunger in our community.
Just ahead, diners are ditching the outdoor tables. The reasons why many states, including our own, are seeing the decline. And a warning for those who live in highly polluted areas. The health condition, doctors say, is more common if you live in one of those places. WREL is again partnering with NBC Universal to help get animals in shelters across the nation adopted, including right here in our own community. Each day we are featuring some of the hundreds of animals that could be the perfect addition to your family. Today's shelter spotlight is Paw Forever.
They have so many fur babies like Chucky here, who is in need of a home. Chucky is a playful pup with lots of energy. He loves tennis balls and Chucky's tail is always wagging. He has a heart full of joy. Look at that face. The shelter says this lab is known for his silly behavior and ability to turn even the simplest activities into an adventure.
Okay, maybe cats are your speed. Look no further than sweet, playful Cheetah here. Paws Forever says you'll fall in love with her playtime antics and her affinity for nap time. She's social, active, and ready to be your best friend.
Okay, but if you need a sign that now is the right time to adopt, look to the stars. This is Orion, and like his name suggests, his hunter nose can latch on to any scent and he will follow. The beagle lives up to his name and loves to get his ears scratched.
These are just a few of the many, many pets that need homes. To learn more about the adoption process and to find out how you can help shelters in your community, visit WREL.com/shelters.
Tickets for the North Carolina State Fair are now on sale. This year's fair is set for October 12th through October 22nd. And this is video from last year. Advance sales for tickets, wristbands for rides and ride tickets go on sale today. And you can get them through October 12th. Adults are $10. Kids ages 6 to 12 are $5. Unlimited ride wristbands are $30. Tickets can be purchased on the State Fair's website.
No car, no problem. We'll take you to a neighborhood where walking and biking are the exclusive modes of transportation.
And outdoor dining became very popular during the pandemic as a way to stay safe while enjoying your favorite restaurant. But a new report finds a drop in visits. What's behind the reversal? Stretches of severely high temperatures across the U.S. are taking a toll on restaurants. Visits in July and August declined from earlier in the year, with chains reporting a drop in outdoor business this summer. Customers are avoiding patios during heat waves, and reservation tech company OpenTable also recorded that diner declines this summer in several states, including North Carolina. Utility expenses are also rising as restaurants run air conditioning at full capacity for long stretches of time.
A majority of Americans believe there is less potential harm from secondhand marijuana smoke than from tobacco smoke. But they're wrong. Researchers say anytime you burn something, it creates toxic compounds, carcinogens, and particulate matter that are harmful to health. The authors say even though cannabis is natural, there are plenty of toxins and tar in cannabis smoke that can hurt the lungs. Historically, it's been difficult to study marijuana use because it was illegal in so many states. However, with the legalization of cannabis in many states, more researchers are now exploring its consequences. Pollution could increase the risk for dementia. New research finds that those who live in areas with high levels of air pollution are more likely to develop dementia than those who don't live in air-polluted areas. Researchers looked at more than 27,000 people from 1998 to 2016. They found that areas with pollution from wildfires and agriculture specifically have a greater link to dementia compared to other types of pollution, such as sources from cars or construction sites.
A new neighborhood in Arizona where cars are prohibited is gaining popularity. The living complex is called Cul-de-sac Tempe. It has 700 apartments on 17 acres with bike and walking paths on site. And local business owners and residents say the development is making a difference in how they think about land utilization.
It's cool that something like this exists now that's right on a metro stop. There's bike infrastructure around, there are bike lanes. And there's just a lot available to where you don't need a vehicle to exist.
And here's another perk. Residents of the community are even given bikes and unlimited access to the light rail as well. It's a cool concept. I like that.
Not bad.
Yeah.
It's been 100 degrees in Tempe, Arizona for like a month straight.
Yeah, you know, and now
we're getting a taste of it, right? Elizabeth Gardner in the WRI Severe Weather Center. More importantly, though, that severe risk here today has widened.
It has. So that happened right at the beginning of the newscast. They expanded the level two risk. And our viewing area was all in it already, so it didn't have an effect here, but definitely spread back closer to the mountains, including Charlotte, Greensboro, and parts of the mountains. So damaging wind, again, our biggest threat as we see our cold front coming through. An isolated tornado is not out of the question. We're going to see heavy rain with these storms as they begin to develop early to mid-afternoon. Here's a look at our cold front. As this cold front was crossing the mountains, we did see a lot of severe storms associated with it. We even had a tornado warning that moved right over Watauga County, and boom, we did not hear of any reports of damage from that, fortunately. We take a look here, and this is a look at Futurecast, and you can see those isolated showers that start to pop up as we get into the afternoon and evening. Those become more frequent as we get into, say, 5, 6 o'clock. It is likely to be something that does have an impact for our evening commute. We'll take another look here at what's going on with that severe weather threat. Of course, it is a WRAL weather alert day for us, looking at 2 to 8 p.m. as our timeline for these storms to come through. Again, 60 mile per hour wind gusts are possible, and there may be some flash flooding. And some of that rain could happen during the evening commute. So you want to be especially careful. There may be a lot of water on the roads if you happen to find yourself underneath one of those cells. So we'll move it on through time again, and now we'll take that front off, and you can see these scattered storms that develop between 3 and 4 o'clock, moving through the Triangle area almost in a line from Southern Pines to Raleigh to Rocky Mountain to Roanoke Rapids around 6 to 7, and then finally moving toward the exit out of the viewing area by around 8 o'clock or so. Still maybe some lingering rain, but our severe weather threat should be over by then. Here's a look at our flooding threat for today. It's a medium risk here in yellow, south and east of the Triangle and along the I-95 corridor over toward the coast. Anybody can see it, but it may be more likely there. In Goldsboro and Apex Chapel Hill, we're seeing lots of sunshine. It's allowing our temperatures to really heat up, bringing a little bit of cloud cover in. And a little windy there in Goldsboro, too, right now. Our view in Chapel Hill, courtesy of Top of the Hill Restaurant. Of course, we have a rare excessive heat warning in effect for parts of our viewing area. The purple shaded area could see heat indices into the 115 range. Already, it feels like 118 down in the eastern part of the state. So looking at 97 in Raleigh, feeling like 110, and Durham 107, Fayetteville up to 115. Really, really hot one for today. As we get through the evening, once the thunderstorms pop up and move across your area, we'll start to see those temperatures dropping just a little bit, but that's going to be pretty late in the day. Checking the tropics quickly, a couple of systems. One that's moved off the coast of Africa has a 20% chance of developing, and another one sitting on the coast of Africa about to move offshore with a 30% chance. chance in the next 7 days. So that's something that we'll be watching in the next several days. Be sure to download your WRAL weather alert app, your WRAL weather app. If you're going to be out and about this afternoon, if you're at home, once those alerts go off, turn on the TV. Kat and Amy are going to be tracking all these storms for us. And of course, we get a little bit of a break from that heat by Wednesday and Thursday.
Thanks, Elizabeth. Amazon is rolling out a new feature that could help customers avoid reading lengthy reviews. How artificial intelligence could help you choose the right product for you.
And here are your winning Powerball numbers. Good luck. As we wrap things up, here's a look at a few of the headlines we're following today. All school bus routes will be covered this school year under a new plan the Wake County Public School System proposed. The system will present its plan to the school board this afternoon. The district will notify families of their assigned routes by Friday. About 90,000 out of the system's nearly 160,000 total students have signed up for busing.
A 19-year-old is accused of killing her mother and kidnapping her sibling. Jada Westmoreland is charged with first-degree murder and kidnapping. Police say last night they found her mother, 41-year-old Delilah Westmoreland, dead from several gunshot wounds. Investigators say Delilah's 2-year-old child was missing. They later found the toddler safe. She's with other family members now.
VinFast began trading this morning on the NASDAQ floor after completing its merger. The deal with Black Spade has valued VinFast at approximately $23 billion. VinFast new U.S. shares opened at $22 and briefly jumped before declining. Capital raised from the merger and stock offering is expected to help pay for the massive factory it's building in Chatham County.
Amazon says it believes generative artificial intelligence can help customers quickly determine what other buyers are saying about a product before reading through the reviews. The new AI-powered feature provides a short paragraph on the product detail page with product features and sentiment frequently mentioned across written reviews. Amazon has been using AI tracking technology since 2020 to ensure warehouses were social distancing during the pandemic. And while we're on the topic, artificial intelligence has been blamed for thousands of layoffs, but some people could earn up to $900,000 a year in the field. Netflix opened a new machine learning platform project manager with a pay scale of $300,000 to $900,000 a year, including bonuses. Last month, Amazon opened a similar role with pay as much as $350,000. Google, Walmart, and various financial firms are also looking for experts to help leverage their machine learning platforms.
Netflix is providing a new service to some of its subscribers. The company is testing out cloud-streamed games in select markets. Only some users will be able to take part in the beta test. Netflix has made games for mobile devices in the past, but the two new titles are the first to be streamed on a PC, Mac, and TVs. The new feature is available on some televisions and devices such as Amazon Fire and Chromecast, and of course, the Netflix website. And this week, we'll get another look at the Carolina Panthers' new starting quarterback, Bryce Young. The team's second preseason game is Friday. The Panthers will get a shot at redemption against my New York Giants. You can catch all the pre-action Friday at 7 p.m. right here on WREL.
Our pet of the day is an adorable Italian Greyhound mix from Red Barn Rescue. So, of course, he is named Geppetto. This little guy's quizzical expression will bring a smile to your face. Geppetto loves to run free in the rescue's play yard to get his zoomies out. And then he is a very settled fellow. Most days, a game of fetch appeals to him, too. He also likes to play with other dogs. Geppetto is approximately 4 years old and weighs 31 pounds. You can visit redbarnrescue.com to fill out an adoption application.
You think you like spaghetti?
You have to say Geppetto.
I love it.
NBC News Daily is next on WREL, your next local news update coming your way in 30 minutes.
And you can get breaking news updates anytime with our WREL News app. Have a great day. Stay cool out there.
Stay safe with the latest WREL Weather Alert Day info. Get up-to-the-minute weather and traffic conditions when you get in your car. In Raleigh on 99.3 FM, in Durham 96.5 FM, and everywhere on 101.5 HD3.